big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to a very special edition. First edition of 2024 of the Mick Wall podcast featuring... And what's your name again?
Yes. Very funny.
And what do you do after, for a living?
Yeah, after I've struggled through the flooded lands to get here.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
The rivers burst its banks.
We live in a rural area, and yes.
So let me. I'll set the scene. So
yes,
I drove through this.
Oh, you did. You're like a ride on the storm.
Drowned England through, yes, you know, various bits where the river was coming up over the road and so on, and arrive at the door to. And I had already been told yesterday via a message from you to arrive not before 11:15.
Right, right.
Because you had a quote, a story to finish.
Very important.
Very
story.
Important. So I walked in at, I think about, if I'm not mistaken, 11:21 was when I walked through the door.
If you're not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I said to you, have you finished the story?
And I said.
And you said, not quite.
Not quite, you see.
And I said, what is it? Oh, like, you know, 10,000 words. And you said, what did you say?
It was a 500-word review.
500 words.
But you see,
500-word review.
But you see, John...
That was going to take you till 11:15.
No,
and
no.
You hadn't finished it.
No, you said, I'll be there 11 or so.
Yes, initially.
So to give myself
I didn't
a
think
deadline...
Because I thought, oh, you would set aside the morning to do the podcast, because we hadn't done them for a while.
Oh, I'd set aside the morning.
Yeah, as I had done.
Oh, as you had done.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, some of us, I'm
set
afraid,
aside
John,
the other, set aside the other morning as well, when you then phoned up and moaned that you had insomnia or something, so we didn't do it.
Wow.
Well,
I was just sparing you the journey, because we literally were flooded out.
You were probably thinking, oh, I've got to write 500 words on Ronnie James Dio.
No, I had insomnia. I did. I was up all fucking night. And of course, you know, with insomnia, when do you finally get to sleep?
Yeah, it's like about
8 a.m.
About
when I messaged you at about, no, I wasn't well. It's the stress. Plus, also, when you say give the morning, while you're, you know, driving around listening to cricket podcasts, I'm in here doing deep research.
No, you're not. You're trying to do 500 words. You used to be always 500 words. It's a story behind the song on The Last in Line. That's what you said.
But you mustn't reveal.
Oh, no, because that's
exclusive.
Oh, my God. You know, Mojo and Q will be going, oh, why didn't we think of that? The Daily Express will be saying, oh, surely that's our next cover story.
Well, you know, you never know,
we'll
do you?
We'll knock Princess Diana off the headlines.
If it's the Express, because, probably Boris.
Because Mick Wall has finally revealed the story behind The Last in Line.
And it's a very, very interesting story. But you'll have to wait to read it, I'm afraid.
What magazine is it for?
Classic Rock.
Classic Rock.
Yeah. Look Classic out for Rock. That. Or as Lauren Laverne still says on her radio show, make a note in your diary.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because
do you make a note in your? You know, on the.
I will in this case, because I do want to know what the story behind The Last of Mine is.
It's
because it begins. If I'm not mistaken, that is the song that begins with the words "We rock to the witch."
Yeah. See,
which
that's a clue.
Somewhat opaque, isn't it?
Well, unless you see what comes next, you see. Because not only does he rock to the witch, but you'll just have to find
out. Oh, my God.
Yeah, cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger. So, no, I didn't. I've nearly finished it.
Yeah, that's right.
It'll be finished by this afternoon.
Yeah. And when did they want it?
Last Friday.
Yeah.
But that's not.
But they know. The thing is, when you're expecting 500 words, I mean, you can't be thinking that will come in on time.
You see, John, the problem is, as you know, as one of my former editors,
yeah.
I am a perfectionist.
I knew never to give you assignments of 500 words.
I am a perfectionist. You know, now,
because the problem with 500 words is it's too short for you to just go back into your computer and copy and paste something you've previously written from an old interview.
How dare you?
It is.
How dare you?
Oh, yeah, I actually did something like that in 1983. Let me just copy and paste.
You know, I'd never thought of that, but now you come to mention it, I
but
probably 500 have got some
words, 500 words
material.
Almost demands that you start again. It's actually quite a canny bit of commissioning. I take my hat off to whoever has asked you to do this.
Now, you see, when you're a perfectionist and when your contacts are as extensive as my own.
That's right.
That's a lot of.
Yes, but.
You're across a lot of shit.
Are they not the two
co-writers
of
this? You're across a lot of shit.
Well, the co-writers of this epic song, both, you know, currently, sadly, no longer with us.
Sadly, no longer able to corroborate. I mean, no longer with us. That's right. Well, which is what keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
You know, which is why, you know, you have to keep the legend alive, John.
Well, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
But, I mean, could you not just turn to page 251 or whatever it is of the Ronnie James Dio collaboration that you wrote?
The autobiography.
The autobiography of Ronnie James Dio.
I hadn't thought of that, John.
Completed in quotation marks by his old friend.
Very old friend. Long-standing ally.
Yes.
Defender of the faith.
Yes.
Me.
Yes.
Yeah, fellow, as is well known.
Fellow rocker to the witch.
That's right. That's right. Now, listen, that's all very interesting. But let's get on with the show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
As mentioned, I've been doing some very deep research, not just looking online.
No.
You know.
Hoping against hope that something happens over Christmas.
No. See, that, as I said, professional to the tips of my toes. Now, here is some marvellous stuff I'd like you to perhaps, you know, have your say about.
Yeah.
Christmas, what a time. What a time. There was, I expect you were at this, John.
How did Stephen Wilson's Christmas song go? Because in the last episode we did, I don't remember much about it, but I do remember Stephen Wilson had just released a Christmas song.
We played it.
Yeah, but I was wondering if it sort of got to number one or something.
I think it was the Christmas number one.
I think it probably was, yeah. Because I did hear that Shane McGowan's one didn't get to number one.
Because?
So I was presuming Stephen Wilson's...
Stephen Wilson's December
Stephen
Skies.
Wilson's rapid knockoff of the Greg Lake one.
There's nothing rapid about using AI.
That's right.
It's more instantaneous than
rapid.
That's
right. It's all coming back to me now.
That's a brilliant
God, that
idea.
Seems like a long time ago.
Well, because a friend of his challenged him to
he's
write...
Doing he's doing a whole album like that now.
Christmas songs.
No, AI.
Stephen Wilson.
Yeah, apparently.
You heard that, did
yeah,
you?
Well, I didn't.
Where did you hear
I'm
that?
I'm imagining that's probably what he's thinking.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably not what
he's
thinking.
He's seen, I knocked out a Christmas song in no time. So I'll have an album ready in a couple of weeks.
You know what I should do? I should get AI... And I should say, write me a 500-word review
of,
in the style of Mick Wall.
Yeah, of what?
About, I don't know, random, The Last in Line.
The Last in Line by Dio, for example.
For example.
Yeah.
Just picking randomly from a hat marked deadlines. So anyway, John, listen to some of this. This is pretty amazing stuff you're going to find out here. This is all people talking about the coming year, you know. And did you know that Anvil have an album coming out this year? And Lips,
right.
Mr. Anvil himself, did an interview online before Christmas where the headline was, this is a direct quote, John, from Lips, quote, "The songs were totally written before I showed them to the other guys."
What?
Lips is saying for Lips on the upcoming Anvil album, right, quote, "The songs were totally written before I showed them to the other guys."
Right, yeah.
It just made me laugh.
What? So he's trying to say that he... I think the way you're reading it out he's telling some kind of massive lie.
Like
you did about the Dio. Oh, I've totally done that 500-word piece. Yeah, I've done it, yeah. I'll send it to you later. But the problem at the moment is my Wi-Fi doesn't
work. There you go.
That. And the you read it out in that sort of voice. The way I heard it when you read it was, I had totally written all of the songs before I even showed them to the other guys.
Yeah.
That's the way I hear that.
That's how I was saying. Yeah.
No, you weren't.
That's how you heard it is one thing. What I meant is clearly another. Well, I'm just laughing at the fact that...
What, that anyone else in Anvil might have written a song?
No, I'm just laughing at the fact that he decided he wouldn't play anything to the guys until it was all done.
Yeah.
So that's fait accompli.
That's what I would do. That's exactly what I would do if I was writing an album. There's no way. Because it's like writing a feature, isn't it? You don't send it in when it's halfway through.
No, I don't think it's like writing a feature. Or a book. You're a bloody band.
If you're writing a book, you don't like halfway through send it to the editor and go, well, this is what
it's
I've done so
far. It's not a book.
Far.
It's a bloody Anvil album.
Yeah, so?
So
it's still his thing. It's still his thing. It's still his...
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay, moving on.
I think it's going
to I can't wait for you to stick up for all these people. More people talking about their long-awaited album. Here we go. Pearl Jam guitarist Mike McCready.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Stone Gossard. Is Stone Gossard still in it? Or is he dead or something?
Well, there's a picture of him. And the only one I recognise is Eddie and Mike McCready. I was looking at which one is
kicked
Stone.
All the others out.
I don't know. It's just got very, very old. You know? Anyway... Mike McCready has revealed that the band's forthcoming album is, quote...
Quite good.
A lot heavier.
Oh, they are. That's such a classic thing.
Hang on. It's like track three. A lot heavier than you'd expect. Well, I mean...
Well, no, it depends what you'd expect, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I'd expect nothing, just dismal. Well,
if I was expecting another album load of Eddie Vedder ukulele songs... Then yeah, it's probably heavier than that. Yeah,
yeah. I wasn't really expecting anything.
No, I was expecting them not to make any more albums.
My main thought was, so who cares? Yeah. No one's going to hear it, are they?
And you want to know the reason why you say they all look a lot older? Here's the reason why they all look a lot older, because all of the grunge guys were sitting there during... They're all the same age as the hair metal guys, but they were all sitting there during hair metal going, oh, boo-hoo, I'm not handsome enough. I'm not in... I'm too bald to be in Motley Crue and I don't look good in spandex. Boo-hoo. And then grunge came along and...
Threw them a lifeline.
Miserable bastards. Yeah, exactly. But they're all the same age as everyone else.
Well, Geoff Ament was a huge Maiden fan.
Exactly. Of course he was. He would have liked to have been in Iron Maiden.
He still would.
Stone Gossard.
The tragedy of Geoff Ament's life was that he played bass.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if he'd been a singer, he could have been
Because the
in Iron
one
Maiden.
Person who's never going to leave Iron Maiden.
Absolutely. That takes the iron out of the Maiden.
It does, yeah.
Without Ari, it would just be the Maiden.
Yeah.
That's no good.
I mean, that is one thing that wouldn't... Here you go. It's like Steve Harris saying, I'd totally written the whole Iron Maiden album before I showed it to the rest of the guys.
Yeah, see, I
find
that...
That's exactly it.
No, I find that suspect.
What? Do you?
Sometimes
he lets Adrian Smith write one.
It's like saying, I've written all this stuff... But I'm not going to play it to them until it's done, in case they say, yeah, but it's shit.
That's exactly how I read it. That's exactly how you're thinking your last in line piece is going to go. You're going to send it and they're going to go, this is just shit.
No, I see them getting the email with the story sort of going, guys, gather round. It's here.
Finally, that first line, we walk to the witch. Yeah. What does it mean?
Yeah. And I could tell you, but you're going to have to wait and read it, you see. So anyway, let me tell you more about Pearl Jam. And this is also a bit that made me go, whew.
Have they said yet, oh, it sounds a lot more like 10, because that's the last album that anyone
No, I tell you what they have
buying.
Said is, it's, guess who it's been produced by?
Oh, I bet it's Brendan O'Brien.
No.
Oh, it's not. Is Steve Albini still alive?
Dude, you're going back 30 years. I'm talking fashionable producers oh, okay. now.
I don't know any.
We were talking about him in one of the Christmas pods.
Not Mutt Wall.
It really would be a lot heavier.
Who produces this podcast?
That would be a lot heavier.
I'm really sorry, guys. It was a good take, but, you know, yeah. It's coming out
Andrew
the wrong speaker.
Watt. Andrew Watt, you know, who did the Stones album, who did Ozzy.
I've never heard of him.
Oh, fuck off. I was telling you all about him over Christmas.
Oh, I probably zoned out.
Oh, you zoned out?
Oh, well, yeah, because I was so interested in what you had to say about the producer of the Rolling Stones album.
You brought it up.
I did not.
You brought it up. You said Ginger really liked the Stones album, and I didn't, and then you fucking landed me in it at the gig. Ginger spends 10 minutes saying how wonderful the Stones album
yeah,
is,
I
and
said
then
it
you
was
go,
terrible.
Mick thought it was shit, didn't you, Mick?
I'm sure. Did I say that?
And one of the reasons I thought it was
shit
is because they just got Andrew Watt in. It's just he did Ozzy. Right. This is who you bring in now. He is the Mutt of the now.
Right, right. The Brendan O'Brien of the new era.
Brendan O'Brien for a few years, but I mean, you know, who was it before? Roy Thomas Baker. You know, one of those.
Yeah, but
what were they called?
Roy Thomas Baker made it sound good.
Andrew Watt makes it sound good.
But does he?
If the songs aren't there, you can't polish a turd, yeah. My friend. Anyway, so Pearl Jam have brought in Andrew Watt, and it's a lot heavier. Andrew, who also produced Dua Lipa.
But see, that's the thing you've got to do, is when you've not got the songs, you just it's like Metallica.
They'll be next. I guarantee you, Metallica will get Andrew Watt in.
They've already done it. They've done the thing where they've gone... The songs are just, yeah, essentially pastiches of stuff we've done before.
Yeah.
So all we're going to do is just make it incredibly heavy.
Yeah.
And then we'll go, oh, it's a return to our roots.
Yeah. No one will buy it. And then we'll get Andrew Watt in and he'll just do his magic and we won't even sound like ourselves. It'll be like a facsimile.
I did see over Christmas that Stars turned 70.
Lars Ulrich?
Yeah. Well, maybe it was 60.
Dude, he hasn't turned 70.
Maybe it was 60. I can't remember.
I'm older than Lars.
60 or 70?
Well, it wasn't 70.
Oh, okay.
I'd be surprised.
Maybe it was James that's 70.
I'd be surprised if it were... James? Are you all right there, mate?
Just having a laugh.
Are you all right?
Just having a laugh, that's all. There's nothing wrong with that.
You've got me looking.
I think he was 60, in fairness.
Hang on. I'm going to tell you. Oh, Lats. That's not his name, is it?
Because
Lars.
Because he was always known as Young Lars.
He was born on Boxing Day 1963. So he turned 60 on Boxing Day.
That was it. That was the story I saw. Yeah.
Not 70.
No, I thought it was.
He might look
was a bit
70.
Old.
But anyway, you mark
he will,
my words.
He will soon be 70. He's now nearer. He's now nearer to 70 than 50.
You've got another 10 years.
Yeah, I think he's got 10 years.
I think 50, that's long enough.
But 50 was more than 10 years ago.
So are you 60?
No.
Because you're definitely closer to 60, aren't you?
That's outrageous. How dare you? I'm going home.
So you're in your 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
No.
Really?
You know.
No, definitely not. Closer to 60. John 60 Hotton. Well, you're closer to it. Anyway, let me continue.
That's known as the Stars Measure. It's a mathematical formula. The Stars Measure. You tell me your age and I'll use the Stars Measure
to tell you
which decade you're closest to.
Fuck, I only turned 60 2 weeks ago and apparently he's 70 according to you.
I said he's nearer to 70.
Hey, John, what's all this bullshit about me being 70 just because you're 60?
See, that's the sort of thing he would phone up about.
That's right. Yeah. I hope he does. Yeah. Right, moving on. More news of up-and-coming, completely blow-your-mind albums. Lita Ford, it says here, is hoping to release in 2024 her Long.
Oh, what?
Oh, my God.
Oh, hang on. Can you... Sorry.
Oh, hang on. Fucking.
Emergency call, but it was the
You
bloody...
made me stop, and now you've made me go back. Very unprofessional. Not
sorry
like
about that. No, it was just the bloody Vauxhall garage.
I've had to edit that bit that John went into after the Vauxhall garage because of some damning personal information he accidentally revealed about
the age.
What car
of...
is it? You've it's a 20-year-old. Is it now? Is it now?
It's what they call a classic.
A classic.
Car.
It's yeah. a classic.
It's a classic.
In
car.
The in Vauxhall's jalopy range.
Yeah.
Christmas gifts for everyone. Right, now shut up. Back to Lita.
Lovely Lita.
And she's hoping that 2024...
I'm hoping. We're all hoping.
...will see the release, it says here, of her long-awaited follow-up to 2012's
Bloody
Living Like a Runaway.
2012.
She said she was going to release the album in 2023, but she couldn't find all the pieces.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Couldn't find all the pieces.
That's what she says. Couldn't find all the pieces. But she's so hoping she not, to find them in 24.
Has she not released any albums since 2012?
No, there was a greatest hits in 2016.
Yeah.
But that was only two tracks.
Sounds like she's got the same sort of computer as you.
You missed that one, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Because it's such an old joke, I mean.
Oh, it's an old joke.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have you know. I would never say anything like that. And you put me up to
not
it.
About Lita.
I'll tell you what my favourite track is on Lita Ford's greatest hits.
Yeah, track three.
Yeah. There you go. So she's hoping that will come out at some point in 2024. And I think that's something we can hold on to as we look ahead to
it would. Let's hope she finds those pieces.
I hope she finds those
pieces. Maybe Chris Holmes has got some. If we're going back to 2012.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Right, now, speaking of fantastic new albums, Ace Frehley is about to release his new album.
Well, he's probably done. This is just... You wouldn't understand, but no. Rock managers and so on, they would understand. He's probably just waited for the Kiss publicity to almost die away. So they've done all the stuff. It's their last gig. You think, is Ace going to turn up at the last gig? I don't think he did he? Wasn't invited. And then they did the whole thing of we're going to become holograms and all the rest of it. Is Ace going to become one of the holograms? Don't think so. But he's waited for that and then he's gone, right, bang, now's my time. While people are still thinking about Kiss,
you see,
we'll get the news out there about my record.
You see, John, that's a very cynical.
It is. But
that's
what do you
a
think
very
of that?
Cynical point of view.
Is Ace managed by Doc McGee, or is he not allowed to manage Ace as well?
I don't think it's a case of being allowed. I think it's more a case we wouldn't want to.
Because I'll tell you, the last person I remember was the manager
Johnny
of Ace,
Z.
Johnny Z. Yeah, sadly
the
no
late,
longer with us,
great
but the late
Johnny
great
Z.
Johnny Z was Ace Frehley's manager.
Me and Ray Palmer went to New Jersey.
Of course you did.
To interview Ace.
Of course you did. He's probably still down in the market doing his Metallica bootlegs.
And we stayed at Johnny Z's place.
Yeah.
And Ace came to Johnny's place.
Yeah.
And we had some... face
the space ice. Ace gives some
ace.
Face
Gave
at
some
Johnny
face.
Z's place.
Yes,
that's what you did. That was your first line sorted out.
Yeah, there you
only,
go.
Only 4,990 words to go.
That's okay. Yeah. Bash that out in a second with my AI. Right. So that's interesting. In fact, have you heard?
Well, that was it.
Hang on. No, no. The album's called 10,000 Volts.
Oh, that's a good title. Yeah.
And
do they still measure things in volts? I don't know. Are the kids going to know what volts are? That's my question, I suppose.
And in November, he released the title track, 10,000 Volts, whatever they are, to John, as a single.
And well, I don't know. Is 10,000 volts a lot?
That's 10,000 volts, mate.
Oh, that's quite good.
Oh,
that's as good as anything Kiss have done.
Better,
probably. Has he still got his makeup on?
Has he still got his makeup on?
Yeah.
Funnily enough,
that's a
sensible. No.
Why not? That's a sensible
there
question.
There he is. There he is.
Yeah, but he's more.
He's got a moustache.
That
sunglasses.
Could be anybody. That could be anybody. In,
yeah, but it's not. It's Ace.
Yeah, I know. But my point is, if he had the makeup on, yeah, straight away you would know it was Ace.
Well, you see, those of us that consider ourselves Ace aficionados,
yeah,
you, Aceionados, yeah, right, if
yeah,
you will,
yeah,
we just have to hear.
So when he.
You see,
so when he turned up at Johnny Z's house,
yeah,
did he have his makeup on then?
No.
Oh.
No, he didn't.
Disappointing.
No, very disappointing.
Yeah.
But he did wear a big, like, cowboy handkerchief mask.
Did he?
No.
Oh. See, I would like, I want to believe all these things.
Of course you do. Of course you do, little Johnny. Right. My machine's going a bit weird, so I have to keep checking it. Now, listen, there is yet more. We've got time for more?
God,
I think so.
I don't know. Just
you're going to love this.
Okay.
Now, you are going to
well,
love this.
I haven't loved any of them so far.
No, you're
so
going to love
this
one.
Good.
You're going to love this one. So, do you remember Ross the Boss?
I do. Of course I do. I remember Ross the Boss? Of course I remember Ross the Boss.
Who doesn't remember yeah. Ross the Boss?
Manowar, of course. I mean, I don't even need to say Manowar. But
no.
Manowar, yeah.
Just say Ross the Boss.
Ross the Boss, yeah.
In an animal skin.
Yeah. Yeah. And
drawing
he was
blood.
As I remember, he was a right bastard as well, you know.
Oh,
like
no.
A, you know,
lovely
no,
man.
But not, yeah, lovely man. But, you know, he was like.
He looked
muscly
tough.
And
oh, yeah.
Tough guy, yeah. You know. Yeah, you wouldn't want to mess with Ross
but
the
he
Boss.
Obviously had
hence his rock name, Ross
yeah,
the Boss.
His
I call that
pseudonymous.
His rock, I call that his rock name.
His handle.
His rock handle.
Yeah,
yeah.
His rock moniker.
Yeah.
His
rock alias.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, Ross has been talking about the 40th anniversary of
Hail to England, maybe
something like that, yeah. And I love this because it's true, you know. He was saying in this interview that when he was writing those classic songs with Joey DeMeo,
yeah,
Joey
King
DeMeo
of the bass.
On
I mean,
bass,
Joey is the king of the bass.
He is.
He could play Flight of the Bumblebee faster than anyone else, which made him king of the bass.
And he invented the Black Wind.
He did, he did. Well, no, the Black Wind was created by all of Manowar, wasn't it? It wasn't just Joey.
The I Black, think the Joey Black, might have something to say about that.
Well, no, it was because the Black Wind came when you were in between them when they were on stage. That was the Black Wind.
That I'm sure I've told you on the pod many times that me, Crusher, Malcolm Dome went to the Hammersmith Odeon.
Yeah, when they did
in like '84.
Yeah.
At the sound check, specifically because they were going to play do the Black
You're
Wind.
You're going to hear the Black Wind. Yeah, yeah.
And we deliberately went and stuck our heads in the bass bin.
Yeah,
yeah.
That would have been quite ridiculous because I remember seeing Manowar at the Hammersmith Odeon, not that tour, but another tour, and it. I mean, I know it's a ridiculous boast because all you have to do is turn the equipment up as loud as you can.
Oh, there's more to it than that.
But they were the loudest band I have ever seen.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous. And it was even more ridiculous because they were, I mean, their appeal by that point had become quite selective.
More select.
And only the stalls were open.
So, where did you see them?
Hammersmith
oh.
at the Odeon. And so the stalls were open. You know, I mean, on rare occasions, they would close the circle if it hadn't sold very well.
I think on this occasion, it wasn't that it hadn't sold.
It wasn't that it
sold.
Hadn't sold.
They,
it was just,
they wanted they only a more wanted, intimate...
Yeah, they only wanted people in the stalls so you could hear the Black Wind. And I, yeah, it was ridiculously loud, yeah, yeah.
Well, you'll be pleased to learn that Ross, in an interview over the Christmas period, and this is a direct quote, he's talking about how with him and Joey, they just were naturally... They were a great team.
Like psychic, yeah, yeah.
So this is a quote. Because Joey and I, it was never a problem with... Sorry.
This is why you can't do 500 words on deer, because you can't read
very well.
I can't
actually read
or
write.
That makes it more difficult.
Can't speak. Yeah. So I'll try and read this slowly. Between Joey and I, it was never a problem of songs.
Yeah.
People would call us... the Lennon and McCartney of metal songwriting.
Yes, I fully agree with that. I would have called them that.
Can I just finish the quote? Because it's quite funny. Between Joey and I, it was never a problem of songs. People would call us the Lennon and McCartney of metal songwriting because we did 6 records in 6 years.
Yeah. You see, that is old school. That is old school.
Tiny little qualifier here. The Beatles did 6 albums in their first 3 years. Just saying.
Yeah, but they were only about 4 songs on them. I mean, that
no,
was what,
probably
album,
about 24.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, but they only lasted like 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's why there was 24
song,
of them.
Man of War songs last at least 10 minutes.
Yeah, but that's so, just the intro.
That's exactly before. That's even.
Don't you remember
that's before
back in
Eric
the day.
Adams starts singing. They've been going for 10 minutes, mate.
That's before Eric's even got his bear skin.
Exactly.
On.
Yeah.
Trailing blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I do recall, I do actually recall back in the 80s around the Kerrang office with youngsters such as yourself saying to them, look, you've got to show Man of War respect. After all, Ross the Boss and Joey DeMeo are basically the Lennon and McCartney of metal songwriting.
That's why when they came into the office when Kerrang was at Carnaby Street, me and Paul Elliott made a special cardboard arch that we fitted over the door when they came up the stairs. Because you remember at Carnaby Street, you used to come up the stairs.
Yeah.
Kids, correct. And we were playing their album. I think their album at the time was The Triumph of Steel, which was like, yeah. And we turned it up as loud as the stereo would possibly go. So when they were walking up the stairs, they could hear it. And then they came through the arch. It was amazing. That's how people should come to the Kerrang office.
Yeah, you
just see people sitting there reviewing the singles or whatever. They want to be welcomed in.
And also these
treated
days,
like the Lennon and McCartney of heavy metal songwriters.
Exactly, which is what they were.
Well, exactly what they were, yeah.
But also,
and that's when Joey DeMeo gave me personal organiser because he was so pleased with his welcome.
He gave you a personal diary.
He said
a little fucking.
I'm sure I've said this, but no. Seriously, he said they were staying at the Columbia, obviously. Bucket of blood. And he said, "Oh, come over later." So me and Paul were like, "Yeah, of course, yeah, let's go to the Columbia with Manowar. What could be better?" So we go over there, and he goes, "Oh yeah, he goes, we've got loads of these," and it was just when sort of electronic devices were coming in, so sort of pre-BlackBerry or anything like that.
Oh,
yeah. But it was like an electronic version of a diary, essentially, and you would use a little stencil pen to put your appointments in. It was like, what's this witchcraft? This is for me. I don't know if he gave Paul one as well. He probably did. So yeah, gave me personal
in the corner a box promo organized.
Exactly.
Did it have Man of War's logo?
Yeah, yeah.
On it?
No, it didn't. No. I mean, that was the weird thing. It was like I thought, okay, maybe like give us a Man of War T-shirt or something.
Have a personal organizer.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was into that.
Absolutely.
And to bring this podcast full circle, who is Joey DeMeo's cousin? Oh, come on. Surely this is in your book. Ronnie James Dio.
Is Ronnie James
Dio?
Well,
sort of his cousin. Like he's related somehow.
Oh, kind of like a blood cousin.
Yeah, no.
Hunting cousin.
No. Well, Ronnie going hunting.
Oh, yeah. He had a very strong bow.
Ronnie would wait back at the castle for the people to bring back the the haunch with, of venison
with,
or whatever.
With Maid Wendian.
Yeah.
and his drummer, Vinnie Tuck. Yeah. So listen, do we have time for any more?
I don't know.
You've
got the machine in front of you.
It doesn't say.
All right, one more, that's it, and then that's all they're getting.
All right. Now, another megastar over Christmas who has been looking back at his storied career, specifically an album, is former Judas Priest guitarist Kenneth
KK
Downing.
Yeah.
Now, over Christmas, he shared...
He's still former, is he? He's not gone back into them.
No, well, he'd love to, obviously, yeah. But no, they won't have him.
Oh, really?
Bastard. Well, Glenn's not in it either, is he?
Yeah, but Glenn's not in it for health reasons. He still plays the odd show.
Yeah. KK, yeah. It's the same. It's the band's mental health. That's right. They want him back. And I think it's like if Glenn can't be in it, he can't be in it. And
okay.
That's what you said anyway.
What about Rob? Is Rob allowed to be in it? Or is it just other people who are literal Kens?
No. Anyway, KK.
There's KK, there's Glenn.
Shut up.
There's Rob, and then there's Ken, and then there's Ken.
Very true. It's all beyond my Ken.
Yeah.
Ha ha! Hey, ba-boom-tsh. So, KK shared a new video message in which he was reflecting on Priest's classic album, Defenders of the Faith.
Yes.
Because it came out in 84. So this year it'll be 40 years old.
Yeah.
40 years old.
Almost impossible to think of that.
Amazing. Anyway, he's 72 now, KK.
Like Lance.
And the video message begins, "Hello everyone, it's KK here. Just checking in because today is a very..." He's been listening to the pod. "Today is a very special day. It is exactly 40 years since the release of Defenders of the Faith. I think this is probably one of my favourite albums." And then he lists some of the all-time classic tracks. I mean, John, who could forget Rock Hard, Ride Free?
Yeah.
That became your motto, I think, didn't it, as a kid?
Well, I always sort of thought maybe they'd overheard me use the phrase or something.
Right.
Because it seemed coincidental that it was my motto and...
That's right.
...it appeared on Defenders of the Faith.
I remember Jeff Barton would go, "John, what's this rubbish you've just written?" And you'd say, "Jeff, Rock Hard, Ride Free."
Well, at least I did actually send something in there.
Now... Rock Hard, Ride Free. I know that was your favourite, John. But my favourite from that classic Priest album was, and who can ever forget, "Some Heads Are Gonna Roll."
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's a classic Priest moment. Yeah.
And who can forget the Sentinel?
"Some Heads Are Gonna Roll." Oh, no, I do remember the Sentinel.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Go on.
I don't remember how it goes, but
we love your singing.
I remember the title.
We had people sending in comments about your singing.
I know.
Even nice ones, you know. So anyway, there is more. Oh, sorry. So KK says, killer, really full-on metal.
Yeah.
I think we can all get behind that.
Yeah, I do get behind that.
We do get behind that. And there's a lot more to discuss, obviously, but we're out of time.
We'll leave that until next time.
So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, readers. Thank you. It was lovely to be back for a new year, and I wish you all a very prosperous one.
We wish you well.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Once upon a time, once upon a time, once upon a time, once upon a time. How do I stop this, Fern?